Ribs in the evening? What do you think, huh? Did you read about this guy that chopped off his wife's head? He said because she was shot in the face and she was so beautiful he couldn't stand to see her marred beauty, so he chopped her head off and threw it in a wood-burning oven? Can you imagine such a thing? Can you imagine that? No, I'm just saying this guy chopped his, Beletsky or whatever his name is, chopped off his wife said he admitted it, that he did it. He said because she was shot in the face and her beauty was marred, so he chopped her head off so nobody could see it. Can I break into the private line for just a second? Okay. Let me just, can I punch down on this? Hey, how you doing?
Hey, pretty good.
Listen, I wanted to ask you, what do you think about this guy that chopped off his wife's head because he was shot in the face by accident and he said it marred her beauty and he couldn't stand looking at it, so he chopped her head off and burned it?
Well, I think that's a pretty unfortunate situation.
Whoop. Do you now?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Hey, listen, will you take it easy now and keep typing?
Hey, I will. Thank you.
Hey. But what a voice,
well,
huh?
Thanks for calling.
Hey, you know something?
Hey.
You know what we say in the biz?
What's that?
Call Yoons all the way. All right, thank you.
Good
okay, time. Right. All right, 799. Ever been to Call Eunice, Pennsylvania? Huh? Near Allentown. It's true. 799-1111. Now, line one, is it?
I'm Mike Allen.
If you've been thinking about cleaning up your tobacco-stained teeth, now's the time to buy Topol Smoker's Tooth Polish. For a limited time only, you can get a cash refund by mail on specially marked packages of Topol, mint or fluoride. Topol is especially formulated to help remove ugly yellow tobacco stains, yet it cleans gently enough to be used every day instead of regular toothpaste. So buy Topol Smoker's Tooth Polish now and save money as you watch your tobacco-stained teeth get cleaner and brighter.
When I heard the commercial for Cuticura soap about skin that's part oily and part dry, I listened because it made sense.
Cuticura medicated soap is designed especially for combination skin, skin that's part oily and part dry. Cuticura deep cleans oily areas to remove dirt and excess oil, and its rich, creamy emollients help condition dry patches so skin feels soft, smooth, and moisturized. Use only as directed.
Cuticura is the only soap I use now.
Which is good. I agree with that 100%. I think everybody was quick to cut down Carter about certain things, but I think his foreign policy was very good.
You mean that man, that thing that gave away the Panama Canal, sir? Come on.
Well,
only kidding.
Yeah, and I have
had to be done.
Make five times.
Had to be done.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, he his biggest accomplishment was this peace agreement between Egypt and Israel.
Correct.
Far. And, you know, I don't hold it against him, the Panama Canal treaties, the two treaties. I just think it was, it just was not right for the United States to totally control the swath of territory between, in Panama. I guess the president had to do something, and I guess he did the right thing, and we still maintain the authority to use military forces to go in there. You know, when it's all said and done. But I don't know. On the other hand, it's such a strategic waterway. It still is. I'd hate to see the thing fall into disrepair or have to be shut down because of political trouble.
That's true. Yeah, well, completely turned over to them.
I think we're turning it over to them.
Oh, gradually, right?
Yes.
And I have a couple other comments to make. I'll make it fast.
Yes, sir, fast.
Okay, first...
Now, go ahead. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, I'd like to talk about Anthony Earle giving his cabinet, or what? Not his cabinet, but his associates, a pay raise. You know, I'm on the unemployment lines, and I just can't see that. It's just... It's ludicrous, like you were saying before.
But if you had a job, you wouldn't think it was ludicrous, right?
I still think it would, because I know a lot of, let's say, some other people that were laid off, some of my friends. I'd feel awful bad. I really would.
I think, but don't you think they really deserve a raise?
I think...
Tell me why you don't think they deserve a raise.
Well, because they lack the experience. They haven't been in there that long. And it's just like a job. You perform at a job for a 60-day probationary period, and if you do a good job and everything, they'll give you a raise. That's how the government should work. If they do a good job, let's say after a year or so, they review their you know, their critique or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, give them a raise accordingly, not a straight across the board percentage. They should give them, like, if one guy produces really well, give him a 6%. If a guy doesn't produce so well, give him a 3.5%.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been out of work, sir?
I've been out of work 6 months.
What do you do?
I used to be a customer service representative for a major paint and wallpaper wholesaler here in Milwaukee.
Hmm. 6 months now, huh?
Right. Since October 29th. And it, you know, I'm just ready to go out of my head. I was telling my fiance that I'm, you know, I was offered this job at Sears as a customer service worker in this carpet cleaning division of their company. And I just want to take it because I'm going out of my mind sitting around home.
Mm-hmm.
It just, you know, drives you bonkers. There's only so many books you can read, so much stuff you can do.
So, you're going to take it?
I would like to, but, you know...
Well, you sound like you're having a great vacation, sir.
Not really, because I'm getting married in May, and I want a job that has a lot of security to it, you know, a little bit more prestige. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, more financial backing, I should say.
And not only that, you've got to rest up for your wedding night, right?
True. But, what do you think about the pay raises? Do you think they're justified or no?
Well, I understand where you're coming from. If they don't have the experience and have it, or they in office for a great period of time, I guess maybe it's not merited. But I'm not against raises, not only in government, but in general. I'm sorry. I see these. I have the sneaking suspicion that many companies use this economic condition that we're now in to increase profits by reducing salaries.
That's correct.
And I just feel that, you know, I just have this feeling that they're taking advantage of the situation. Because I guess it's the nature of the beast, but I'm very distrustful of it.
I don't know if you'll agree with me on this point, but I think they're just trying to run a monopoly over their employees, just at their mercy.
Well, sir, you take that job and sell a lot of rugs, okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, take care.
Okay, bye now.
All right, 799-1111 with Doug, 22 minutes after midnight, and this is two-way telephone late night adult talk with Doug, 799-1111. We'll be right back with more after these words on WISN.
It'll be their final appearance in the Milwaukee Arena. Hi, everybody. This is Bob Bach inviting you to join George Thompson and me Saturday afternoon from the Milwaukee Arena when fans bid fairly well to Marquette Warrior coach Hank Ravens and senior Terrell Schlutt. That happens before Marquette takes on the Ragin' Cajuns of southwestern Louisiana. Pre-game showtime is 1:35 and the game's on us. Radio 11 WISN.
Over 12,000 people in greater Milwaukee have been involved in the Goals 2000 project, an effort to determine what the area can and should become in the next 20 years. Between now and mid-March, reports will be released weekly focusing on major areas of concern, from economy and employment to health and public safety. These are reports many of you have helped write through your cooperation and involvement. You've had a hand in them, now you can put your hand on them. Get Goals 2000 reports at your neighborhood library. WISN cares about Milwaukee.
Radio 11 Night Talk. Your comments are welcome at 799-1111. Radio 11 Night Talk with Doug Carrick.
Hi, good evening. You're on Radio 11. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
A little while ago, some guy called up and was saying that he thinks the waitresses should pay their taxes on their tips.
Yes.
Well, I just wanted to disagree with him. It seems kind of strange to me that, well, I was a waiter once many years back, but it seems kind of strange to me that around lunchtime, our nightclub kind of a thing would fill up with businessmen, and they'd all have three martini lunches, and the taxpayer paid for it, and now they want the waitress to pay for it.
Whatever happened with that three martini lunch? You know, Carter was campaigning against it. Did they ever drop it, or is it still in force?
It's still in force.
Still in force.
You can't write off your, but if you go to work, you can't write off your sandwiches and in your lunchbox. But if a bunch of businessmen can go into a place and the taxpayer buy their lunch for them, why should the waitress pay taxes on it?
I don't know.
As a general rule, they don't tax that. They don't. tip heavy unless it's the weekend anyway. I waited tables long enough to know that during the week there isn't no money in being a waiter.
Mm-hmm.
You get it on the weekend, and if you're not in favor with the boss, you don't work on the weekends. So here I'm stuck paying all of the taxes on the money that I really didn't get.
This is all very confusing to me. I don't know how that can be.
What's that?
I don't know how you can pay taxes on money that you didn't get.
You have to pay. You have to pay a percent of the gross of the restaurant. If the restaurant grosses $1 million.
Well, why can't they do that on an individual basis? Pay for what you've earned, not for what the company earned.
Because they're paying you on your tips. They're taxing you on your tips. If you take in $1 million, they figure 15% gratuity.
Now you're talking about who takes in the million.
If the restaurant takes it in.
All right.
Then 15% gratuity is figured onto that. That's how much was paid out in tips to the waitresses and the waiters.
Yeah, I know, but it's obvious that some waiters and waitresses are going to get many more tips than other waiters and waitresses.
But that doesn't make any difference to the way they run the way they have the ruling. That's why.
But that's not right.
Well, I know it isn't. And even at that, like, if you're at a nightclub where a real nice place downtown, or you know some of the places, Alio's, whatnot.
Yeah.
You can get big tips there when the people come out because it costs more. But if you work in a cafe, you ain't gonna make no money.
I don't know. It's poor people. I feel sorry for the. I don't know why the waitresses and waiters are not covered under the minimum wage. I know it has to do with the interstate commerce.
When I worked as a waiter, we didn't get no salary at all.
None. Hmm.
But you only got your tips, and you had to pay. It was 90 cents. 90 cents, I think it was 90 cents an hour was minimum wage, or a buck. I can't remember. And you had to pay that to your boss to work for him out of your tips.
Huh. That's bad, bad, bad.
So he's not paying, he's not risking anything.
Mm-hmm.
But you're putting in all the risk.
I don't think that the waitresses and waiters, if they're not making the minimum wage, they shouldn't have to pay any tax on their tips. None.
No, I have a niece that made, I can't believe this, I had a niece that made $5,000 last year. She had to pay tax on that money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're making her live at home. Of course, she ain't living at home, but I mean, they're forcing them to everybody to commune together. There's no getting away from it, and it's just it's crazy. But they don't. Like I say, I don't think they should have to pay anything on them. Anybody gives you a tip, that's for service rendered. I mean, you.
Now, what do you do? You know, I don't mind giving a good tip if the service is good. I really don't. But I really don't like the tip when the tips all go into a common pool and then everybody, you know, divvies them up and, you know.
Right. I don't. Like I said, I haven't worked either, and we don't. We haven't went out once every month or two. We go out now because I'm not working.
Mm-hmm.
And when I do go out, I don't leave a tip at all. Not a nickel, no matter how good the service is, because I can't afford it. I can't really afford to go out.
Well,
I can't stay home.
Yeah, if you can't afford it, you can't afford it, sir. Thank you for your call.
Okay, thank you.
Right, take care. 799-1111 with Doug. It is an open forum for whatever you would like to discuss, regardless of what it may be. Well, we can't talk about everything, but most things. Hi, good evening. You're on WISN.
Oh, I just heard that about tips.
Yes.
And when I go to a restaurant and they automatically tack on 15%, I tell them to rewrite the bill. I'm paying for the food only. If I think the service is good, I'll give more than a 15% tip.
But some places actually include that in the bill, you know, regardless. I guess I can say this. We don't have a Playboy Club here in Milwaukee, do we?
No, Lake Geneva.
Lake Geneva, that's right. But I used to go to the Playboy Club in Baltimore, and I remember going in there a couple of times, and the 15% gratuity was included in the bill. Automatically.
Well, I tell them to rewrite the bill.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't do it, I don't pay it.
Sir, do you tip according to your service?
Yes, I do.
I
went down to the Mark Plaza for a noon luncheon.
Yes.
They included the 15%. I told them to take it off, which it only amounted to about $2. But I left a $5 tip.
Wow.
After they took it off.
And say you had a $4 meal, had a sandwich and something to drink, and say it was like $3.95, and the service was good, what would you tip the waitress, 15% of that or more?
I'd probably give her a buck if she was good.
That's way over what you should give her, right?
Right.
A lot more.
At 25%. There's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm. All right, so listen, I appreciate your phone. What do you think about this, though? Do you think that they should have to pay taxes on this stuff?
No.
Mm-hmm. All right, sir, thank you.
One other thing.
Yes.
I just wonder, you said you weren't against pay raises.
We're not I'm not against pay raises.
Right. I'm wondering how many people in a few years are going to remember good old Congressman Zablocki and, all the others. During the lame duck session of Congress in December, passed themselves a $15,000 pay raise next time they vote for him.
You don't like that, huh?
No, there's people that don't make $15,000 and they work 40 hours a week, 52 weeks a year.
I know, but what relevance does that really have? I mean, isn't that mixing apples with oranges? Do you know what I mean?
Not really when the economy is the way it is. $15,000 increase? Maybe $1,000 or $2,000, there's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm. But you think that's too much?
Way too much.
You know, I've been thinking they don't make enough. I was really appalled. Now, I understand you're laughing at that statement. Believe me, I do. I watched this CBS Overnight News, and there was a segment on there where they interviewed five freshman congressmen that had served 2 years in the House. And they were getting out.
Mm-hmm.
And the question was, why? Doesn't pay enough, too much work, not enough help, and can't afford it. Doesn't pay enough. Now, whether or not they were telling the truth, I suppose, is a matter of speculation. I assume they're telling the truth, but, you know, the whole thrust of the report was, why after 2 years do you want to get out? And these are fairly young people, intelligent people. It doesn't pay enough money.
Mm-hmm.
I can make more money in the private sector.
Well, more power to them. Maybe they were lawyers, $100,000 a year lawyers.
I don't know.
And dropped down to $80,000 only.
I don't know. But I'm just thinking that...
And rent is high in Washington, D.C.
Well, what happens is they wind up having to own a place in Washington and then having to maintain a residence back home, so they, in essence, I think, have to own two homes.
Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
And many of them are claiming you can't own two homes on $67,000 a year and commute back and forth and spend all this money out of your own pocket for so many things.
Well, I don't think you become a congressman by being a dummy anyway, so.
Oh, there have been some pretty dumb ones, sir.
Yeah, once you get in there, you can turn dumb.
You won't believe this, but there was a senator from Virginia. He was a Republican. His name was Scott, S-C-O-T-T.
Mm-hmm.
He went on a junket to the Panama Canal Zone and came back, and the state was in an uproar, and they said, why did you go down there? He said, to learn a lot of things. They said, what did you learn? This is the truth, sir. He said, I found out, and I was thunderstruck, I found out the first time in my life that the boats go both ways in the canal. They go in both directions. Can you believe that? This man did not know, the United States Senator from the state of Virginia did not, incidentally, was called the dumbest senator on Capitol Hill, did not know that the ships went through both directions in the canal. Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm. Is he a senator still?
No, he's out. I mean, how is it possible? I mean, you only have 100 senators amongst this population of 232 or 33 million people, and he can be that stupid. I'm serious. How can he be that stupid?
You got to be able to shoot the bull.
Wow. Well, that's fine, but I mean, that's...
Tell people what they want to hear, and they'll vote for you.
You know, the only other thing that I thought was really almost as stupid as that, well, it really wasn't, is when President Reagan didn't know what parity meant in terms of the farmers, you know, and the fact that it was based on $1914, he had no idea what parity was in that area, so. Well, I didn't at the time either. I found out because he didn't know. But then he's the president. Mm-hmm. I'm not, right?
Right. You asked the question a few nights ago. I don't know. I didn't hear the answer. What is the University of Lausonomy?
You know, I got a letter from somebody with information. There was a guy by the name of Lawson, all right, who was very much involved with horticulture or whatever, and it was named after him.
Oh, so it has to do with farming.
Yes. I looked at it, I thought, my God, you know, I didn't know something like this would be permitted in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Is it in Wisconsin or Illinois?
Wisconsin.
It's in Wisconsin. I thought maybe it was something, you know, like some type of sexual orgy place, you know? All I said was Lasonomy. I thought of sodomy.
Yeah, because I'll be looking at that Friday.
Oh, because you're going down that way.
Yep.
Were you going to party in Chicago?
Lottery tickets.
So you're going all the way from Milwaukee down to Illinois to pick up lottery tickets?
Why not?
How many?
Sell them here.
How many, sir?
Yeah, about $20 worth.
Now, here you're claiming and moaning and groaning about people getting raises. With all the hundreds of thousands of people in this country starving, you're driving down to Illinois to get lottery tickets.
Yeah, once a month. It's a nice drive. Get out of the doldrums every day, same thing, over and over.
You know, the only thing I don't like about driving down that way, every time I go under a Howard Johnson's, I feel like they're going to collapse on me. Have you ever done, you know, I just, you know, if we have an earthquake or something, boom, down they come.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of ingenious the way they have them built like that, though, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
You know. Hey, sir, you're a great conversationalist.
Okay, thank you very much.
Do you know that, sir? You're a great conversationalist. Do you hear me?
Yeah, I heard you.
I'm saying you're a great conversationalist.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That's all I wanted was a response. Huh? All I ever needed was a chance. Now I'm the foreman. All right, sir, take care.
You too.
All right. 799-1111. All this week, you can win tickets to see the special screening of High Road to China starring Tom Selleck. In conjunction with Warner Brothers and Brookfield Square Mall, Radio 11 WISN is having a Tom Selleck lookalike contest. Mm-hmm. It's this Saturday at 3 p.m. at Brookfield Square Mall. I don't look like Tom Selleck, but people tell me I look like... The winner receives a $100 gift certificate. All you have to do to enter is show up. The MC will be Mike Murphy from Radio 11 WISN. What is this guy's name now? He was in The Shining. He was in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. He was in Carnal Knowledge. He was in The Postman Only Rings, Postman Rings Twice. He was in Chinatown. What's his name? One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, that won the Academy Award for Best Picture.
Not Nicholson.
Yes.
Jack Nicholson.
Yes, people tell me that I resemble Jack Nicholson. Tell the truth. Do I resemble Jack Nicholson?
You got to lose a little more hair on top, but otherwise, you got to gain a little more weight, too.
But, I mean, he's been picking up weight, but do I really resemble the man?
Sort of, kind of.
Huh?
You're sure no Tom Selleck.
I know. Well, I'm...
Just kidding.
You're not either. But that's who I look like. Huh. Let's take another break, and we'll come right back with more of your phone calls right here with the talking head, Doug Carrick, on Radio 11 Night Talk.
Feeling good, got a great night's sleep in a waterbed from the Comfort Zone.
I sell Comfort Zone waterbeds, so I've shopped around. One waterbed store claims their price and quality can't be beat. Another one offers additional merchandise for a penny. A third says they never soaked anyone. The truth is, for the best waterbed value in town, no one has the price, quality, and service of Comfort Zone. In fact, we're so confident of our Comfort Zone value that I'm here to put our money where the competition's mouth is. If Comfort Zone can't make you a better deal than any of our competition on comparable merchandise, we'll give you $20 cold hard cash. At Comfort Zone, we won't claim to be the best waterbed value in town. We'll prove it, because we really want your business.
You'll be feeling
locations in the Yellow Pages.
Some say there is still the slightest glimmer of hope that Marquette can make the NCAA tournament. While that may be true, there's no doubt Marquette needs a lift for whatever its future may hold. Hi, everybody. This is Bob Bach, inviting you to join us Saturday afternoon from the Milwaukee Arena. Marquette versus Southwestern Louisiana. Pre-game showtime, 1:35. The game's on us. Radio 11, WISN.
Over 12,000 people in greater Milwaukee have been involved in the Goals 2000 project, an effort to determine what the area can and should become in the next 20 years. Between now and mid-March, reports will be released weekly focusing on major areas of concern, from economy and employment to health and public safety. These are reports many of you have helped write through your cooperation and involvement. You've had a hand in them, now you can put your hand on them. Get Gold's 2000 reports at your neighborhood library. WISN cares about Milwaukee.
Radio 11 Night Talk. Your comments are welcome at 799-1111. Radio 11 Night Talk with Doug Carrick.
All right, so we're still going to have the phone taped to the...
No, we won't have to with the new stuff.
Oh, I thought it was already in. This is all that we're going to do.
Yeah, it is in if you want to try it after maybe 1 o'clock.
Can we try it?
Sure.
How much did you pay for it?
I didn't pay for it, but I understand that it costs a lot of money.
Is it good?
Well, the engineers say so.
Gee, well, they ought to know, shouldn't they?
They should. They're employed to do so.
Wait, they put it in. 799-1111. Line 3? Line 4. Hi, good morning.
Hi, Doug.
Yes. Yes,
yeah.
Sir. Yeah.
I'm hearing some back talk from you.
Just turn your radio down.
Oh, okay. About the tips?
Yes.
Yeah, I tip 15% usually all the time. And the bad
Even when the service is bad?
When it's bad, I tip 25%.
Why?
Because I get more girls to come home with me that way.
Sir, what a filth mouth you are.
Yeah, I know. Well, I got a little thing here I thought you might put on the air. I know it. Well, that's okay. You accused me of choking the parakeet, too, the other last week somewhere.
Hey, what happened to you now? What was the story? You called up and you're so depressed over the holiday. Not the holidays, but...
I'm getting doctor's care right now.
Uh-huh.
Thanks for a number from you I got. This woman called up, and I got hold of this number, and I'm getting some care now.
Oh, that's great. You really sound a lot better.
Hey, I do. I'm picking up a little bit.
I had so many phone calls from people wanting to know what happened to you.
Yeah, well, I'm doing fairly good right now.
Mm-hmm.
I got a ways to go yet, but not too bad, you know.
Gee, you know, we had the police come to the station the night that you were on?
Pardon?
Do you know we had the police come to the radio station that night that you were on?
Is that right?
Yeah. Apparently people called and they said, gee, you know. But,
yeah,
I was
real bad. I just wanted to check out.
I'd already left for the night, you know. But,
uh-huh.
But they did come by. Because there were some...
But these ladies called up and gave me a number, and I called this one, and I got a number of some people that gave me some good help.
Uh-huh.
And I'm still seeing a psychologist, so I'm going through, what they call analysis right now. And I just want to ask you, you know, I'm trying to write a little joke thing down here now. And how you do it, you know. And I thought maybe you get some help from your listeners and maybe you got some because you're quite a whip yourself, you know.
Well, thank you.
Like photographers do it in a flash and lawyers do it briefly.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering how other people of the trades or something do it, you know.
Hey, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, it is. How many different sections of the trade would... do it, you know.
Yeah.
And I had a couple of jokes I wrote down. Photographers do it in a flash, and lawyers do it briefly. And I thought there'd be some other, you know, type of...
I'd have to think about it.
Like even talk show radio hosts, how do they do it and stuff like this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because there should be how bricklayers do it, how plumbers do it, you know. If they do it with a plunger,
well, you know how,
or something,
hey,
I don't know.
Hey, sir, you know how bricklayers do it?
No, how?
They lay one right after the other.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Right?
Hey, that's good.
They do, don't they?
Yeah, I'm going to write that one down.
One brick after the other.
Hey.
Let me see if I can think of another one.
You have to think about it.
Yeah, you really do. That's the only one I could think of right off the bat.
Yeah, I could only think of two, you know.
You know how baseball players do it?
No, how do they do it?
I don't know. I'm just trying to think. They must.
I don't know.
They hit it hard? I don't know.
Hit it hard.
Hit it hard.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know how baseball. That's why I'm asking, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, the bricklayers are the only thing I can think of, because they want to...
But, hey, I like that about the bricklayers, though. That's a good one.
All right. All right,
okay,
sir.
Okay, I'm going to say goodbye, and I'm doing pretty good, and I'll call you back next week.
How's your parakeet doing?
My parakeet is fine.
Is it sleeping right now?
Yeah, it's sleeping on your shoulder.
Let me ask you one question here.
Yes.
Do you give your parakeet parakeet tranquilizers?
No, I don't.
Because it sounded like it was doped up the other night.
No, my parakeet is something else.
Uh-huh.
It walks around my back when I'm in bed and everything like that. I think it knew I was sick before.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm getting better. So.
Well, good for you.
So I just wanted to let you know.
All right, and my audience is interested, too.
And there was one of your audience that was pretty smart because he spotted me as a manic depressive after I called up after my parakeet, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I thought you would have spotted me.
I didn't even recognize you. But you take care now.
And you too, Doug.
Okay.
Yeah, if you can get any of this conversation going, I'm going to write them all down.
All right, sir.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye.
Right. Bye. 799-1111 with Doug. And let's go to line 5. Hi, good morning.
Good morning, Doug.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I heard you talking about the Playboy Club. And
yes.
I worked there and years ago. And I was going to give you some tips on the tips that they give you at the Playboy Club.
All right.
For one, they tell the bunny, tell the key holders not to tip the bunnies because they get 15% of their wage of the commission of whatever they sell.
Right.
We only got 6.
Okay. You mean they said, oh, really?
We made $1.50 an hour plus 15% of your commission. This is what it's supposed to be. Customers still paid, you know, they tipped you if you were good.
Mm-hmm.
It all depended on what room you were working in. If you worked in the tin house or various rooms, you'd get more tips. And this is why I think it's so unfair for them to put a 15%, you know, on all waitresses, because all waitresses don't receive 15% tips.
Right.
And this is one exclusive, you know.
Well, but when I went to the Playboy Club in Baltimore, when I paid my bill, they included the 15% gratuity right in the bill, and I had to pay it out.
Then they must have just started it.
Well, that was a long time ago.
Well, I was there in 70, 71.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not added on.
Well, maybe every club, maybe each club
might
does
be
it differently. Yeah.
Right.
So you were a Playboy bunny?
Yes, I was.
Oh, really?
Yes.
All right, you didn't kill your husband's other wife, did you?
No.
Oh, you haven't served on the Milwaukee police force, have you?
No.
I thought maybe we had a newsmaker on the line.
No.
From Tichita.
No.
That's amazing. So you're no longer doing that, huh?
Pardon?
You're no longer in that line
no,
of work.
No, I'm not. I'm not in that line of work any longer.
Let me
kinda
ask.
Kind of glad.
Okay, yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. Now, when I was in the Playboy Club, I enjoyed it, but I'm not the type of person that... you know, grabs and touches and feels and puts the person in an awkward position and says salacious things to see what the action will... Did you have to put up with a lot of that?
From the women.
The women?
The women. We would get grabbed and touched more by women than men.
I wonder why.
I don't know. I really don't.
I mean, was it kind of grabbing it? I mean, was it sexual or what?
No.
No.
You know, curiosity, you know, what...
Do you have to put that little furry bun on the...
Yes.
Oh, you really did,
yes.
Huh?
I enjoyed the work.
You really
enjoyed working at the Playboy Club.
You don't think that's demeaning to women?